Hello, I'm Pastor Rick, and welcome to our podcast. I hope that the message that you're about to hear will bless and encourage you today.
They would like to be. Before we get started this morning on my message, would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, you have something that you desire to speak. Lord, may our hearts be open to receive. It has been my heart's desire, and I know your heart's desire, that every single person can receive something from your word and from this message that I am going to share. May what I share not just be simply words, but may the Holy Spirit be upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. The sound of a face being slapped could be heard by all the people on the bus surrounding this boy and this girl, and the slap resounded because it was hard. The boy's face was red from where her hand slapped him, and her face was red from rage and embarrassment. And there were tears running down her cheeks. And those around him were exclaiming, "I can't believe you said that. How could you be so mean? What's wrong with you?" Now, for those of you who have gone to school, are in school, a bus of freshmen and sophomore boys and girls is always bound to have some drama. But what started off as some what seemed like harmless teasing back and forth between the boy and the girl who was sitting in front of him turned into that fateful slap, never to be forgotten by at least one of them. She was not an attractive girl. She knew it, and so did others, and unfortunately, she was oftentimes the recipient of some comments, usually behind her back. But today, the teasing started to escalate, and nobody knows exactly what led up to that final slap-inducing comment, but everyone remembers the slap and the fact that that boy had called her a dog when he referred to her looks. It was so unexpected. He had never been slapped in the face before, and never since. But as much as the slap stung, the deeper hurt was the look of pain in the eyes of that girl and the tears that streamed down her cheeks and the knowledge that his words had hurt her so deeply. And the words, "I'm sorry," just don't cut it when someone is wounded so badly. So why would a high school boy say something so cruel to a very plain-looking high school girl? Really, the same question can probably be asked by other people of any of us. Why do we do things that injure and hurt people, wound them by what we say or what we do? Oftentimes, those that we love the most. So that is what I hope to answer this morning. Why do we do some of what we do to other people? So I entitled my message, "When Life Hurts." Life hurts. What do we do when life hurts? And I subtitled it, "Time Does Not Heal All Wounds." Interesting comment that I found when I was researching the message from someone called Beth Rivas. It's this. Here's the quote. "Everyone has wounds. Everyone pretends they don't." Everyone has wounds. Everyone pretends they don't. Young people have wounds, but they walk into their high schools and their junior high or their colleges, and they pretend like they're not hurting, at least most. And then when we move into the parenting age and the marriage age, very often we pretend like we don't have wounds, but we have wounds. And even as we move into the era of mature adults and then senior adults, we all have wounds, but we just pretend we don't. And many of us have been led to believe that the wounds from our past, the rejections, the abuse, the abandonment, the careless and reckless words of friends and family can somehow be ignored, or that they will somehow heal with the passage of time. And again, that's why I subtitled the message, "Time Does Not Heal All Wounds." And if stuffing our hurts doesn't work, and if time will not heal all wounds, what do we do with our hurts? What does heal them? And that is what I hope to answer today. So let's start with this. Why do people hurt one another? And often those who are closest to them. Why did that boy say something so cruel that he had his face slapped? There's a note sheet available. Hopefully you picked one up in the lobby. You at home, you might want to take some screenshots of some of these things. But number one, in your notes this morning, why do people hurt one another, often those closest to them? Number one, hurting people hurt people. Hurting people hurt people. People that hurt you, I want you to hear this. People that hurt you are rarely evil. They are broken, wounded, and hurting. Now, I do believe that some people start broken, wounded, and hurting, but because they don't walk into healing, evil can begin to rise within them, and then they begin to hurt out of evil intent. But most people that hurt you rarely are evil. They are broken, wounded, and hurting. And when you understand that, when I finally understood that it's easier to be kind, to be gentle, to be compassionate and forgiving, when we remind ourselves that hurting people hurt people. And I'm not excusing people. That boy was wrong who said those words. He was hurting, but wrong. He needed to seek forgiveness, and he needed to deal with his own pain so that he did not grow up into someone no one wanted anything to do with. Have you met an adult who no one wants anything to do with because just being around them means you're probably going to get hurt or lashed out at or criticized or beaten down? And that's where that young man was headed, who said what he said on that bus, who got his face slapped. That teenage boy needed healing from the hurts he experienced in his life. But as I said, that healing is not going to come by stuffing the hurt, and that healing is not just going to come over time. But first thing for us to know this morning, hurting people hurt people. Second point this morning is this: hurting people are easily hurt by other people. You might wonder, why is it that some people are overly sensitive? You feel like you have to walk on eggs around them. Very often, hurting people are easily hurt by other people. Do you know someone like that? Do you know when you get to work, there's that one employee? Do you know when you get to school, there's that one student that you just got to be really careful around because they seem to be so overly sensitive, they get offended on almost anything? Well, hurting people are easily hurt by other people. And very often, there's no intention meant to hurt. It just happens. Now, I want to tell you this. Over the years, these two phrases have helped me time and time again. I'm just sharing from my heart this morning, but these two phrases have helped me time and time again. Hurting people hurt people. And hurting people are easily hurt by other people. Then one day, and it was as if the Holy Spirit shined a light into my heart and my soul, and I began to evaluate myself. I started to see clearly the times that I was being rude or harsh or critical or impatient, saying and doing things that hurt other people, especially people that I loved, my wife Sherry, our kids, people I worked with, even people I was called to pastor and shepherd. They were sometimes on the receiving end of hurt. And so these two phrases became personal. And I began to ask myself, why do I hurt people? Why am I easily hurt by people? And the answer was right there, hurting people. Hurt people. Hurting people are easily hurt by other people. I was a hurting person who needed healing from my wounds and hurts. So here's a question. What about you? Coming up on the screen, subpoint A. Do I hurt people? Ask yourself that. Do I hurt people? Are you one of these individuals that hurts people? Are you one of these individuals who tears people down, ignores people, rejects them, speaks harshly to them? Or, point B, am I easily hurt by other people? Are you a person that other people might say is overly sensitive? Is it possible? I'm going to say it's more than possible. It's probably very true that you are a person who has some wounds and some hurts. If you've ever wondered why you hurt others, say cruel and hurtful things, if you've ever asked yourself, where did that come from, after something just poured out of your mouth? Have you ever wondered why you tear your husband or your wife down all the time? Or why you're not there for your kids? Or why you're super demanding with your kids? Or have you ever wondered why it seems you hurt so easily? Why you are offended at the least little things? Why a casual comment goes deep into your soul? Hurting people hurt people. And hurting people are easily hurt by other people. What I'm speaking on this morning, I call a life theme, because I have walked this path. I am an individual who has been hurt, and I am an individual who, out of my hurt, hurt others. I have walked what I am preaching to you this morning. Now hear this. I have also received healing. I have found the source of healing for my wounded soul and spirit, and I'm going to share that with you today. You see, I was the teen boy on the bus. It was my face that got slapped. I was the one who wounded that young lady with my cutting words. Words I could never take back. Words that tore her fragile self-esteem. It is an episode in my life that I still cringe when I think about it. And when I share it with you, I'm so embarrassed about that man, young man, teenager, that I was at that time. But I was hurting, and hurting people hurt people. Let me give you some of my backstory, not as an excuse, but as an explanation. I was an insecure child and teenager. I'd been picked on by others. I'd been made fun of often. I was hurt a lot. Family members tore me down. I often felt like I would never measure up. I would never amount to anything. In fact, the way that I say that word actually is probably a quote from what was said to me. You're going to amount to nothing. I grew up in a critical environment. Nothing except perfection was ever good enough. There were a lot of wounding words and very few words of affirmation. And as I said, they came from friends, but a lot came from within the family. And out of those feelings of hurt, rejection, and insecurity, I ended up hurting others, because hurting people hurt people. When you are torn down, you often tear down. When you are hurt, you often hurt others. When you are made fun of, you often make fun of others. I'm saying this to you just so that you understand a little of my backstory, but I'm not trying to make my parents or my family or my friends look bad, or to get back at them. I just share this with you because you need to know that I've walked where you have walked, and I need you to know how I got there. Because if you know I've walked where you've walked, and you know how I got there and how I received healing, my desire is that hope would begin to rise in your heart. If this morning, as I've been speaking, you've begun to see that you are one who has hurt, and you are one who hurts, because hurting people hurt people, and hurting people are easily hurt by other people. But my family life wasn't terrible. I grew up in a very stable home, parents who loved me, but parents who, in trying to raise and mold myself and my sisters, oftentimes didn't do things that well. But the more I understood this, the more I began to understand that they were hurting themselves, because hurting people hurt people, especially those who are closest to them. Your children receive your hurt. I received out of my parents' hurt, who probably received out of their parents' hurt, my grandparents' hurt, because hurting people hurt people. And unless something happens to stop the hurt cycle, it's going to be passed on. And for this congregation, for this church, for our online audience, let's declare that the cycle is over. And let's find the healing. Point three this morning. We all have been impacted by pain and heartache. We all have been impacted by pain and heartache. Remember that quote from earlier? Got to find it myself. Everyone has wounds. Everyone pretends they don't. We have all been impacted by pain and heartache. And number four, the painful experiences we suffer are seldom resolved. They're seldom resolved. The painful experiences we suffer are seldom resolved. In fact, some people even want to avoid hearing about stuff like this. It's possibly somebody online that's about ready to shut me off. They don't want to hear about this stuff. May I encourage you not to? Reverend Jimmy Evans wrote this about people. Pastor Evans is known for Marriage Today. He and his wife, he pastored a good-sized church in Texas, is also part of the teaching team at Gateway Church. Reverend Jimmy Evans wrote this about people that he's ministered to in his pastoral ministry. Listen to what he said. Every person I see with a significant addiction, depression, or other dysfunction, no matter what specific problem they are working through, eventually breaks down in tears as they describe a devastating event or circumstance from their past. I hear stories of abusive fathers, of neglectful mothers, of brutal neighborhood bullies, stories of emotional trauma and heartache, premature deaths, personal rejection, physical and verbal violence, shattered friendships, broken marriages, divorcing parents. Listen to what he concludes. Every person I counsel, without exception, is dealing with some form of deep-seated, unresolved, unprocessed pain from his or her past. Every person I counsel, without exception, is dealing with some form of deep-seated, unresolved, unprocessed pain from his past. That's why I say in that point four, the painful experiences we suffer are seldom resolved. If you are dealing, or you have family members that are dealing with deep-seated issues of addiction, or deep-seated issues of depression, or deep-seated issues of despair, or deep-seated issues of low self-esteem, more than likely, it's almost a foregone conclusion that someplace in their past is unresolved, painful experiences. Because this is how we are modeled and taught to deal with pain. Stuff it. Man up. Or, time will heal all wounds. It'll get better, honey. Just time will heal all wounds. And time does not heal all wounds. In fact, time heals very few wounds. Let me put it in the natural for you. If you broke your wrist and didn't have it addressed properly, would time heal that wound? Oh, time would bring some healing, but your wrist would still be out of joint. Your wrist would still not function properly. You need someone to go in and address the problem and set the bone. We need someone to come into our lives in our painful places and begin to minister. And part of this is very difficult for some of us to accept, because for us to accept it means that we have to also accept some of the things that were done to us and deal with them, and some of the things we have done to others. And that's hard. It's better, let's just ignore it. Let's just pretend it didn't exist. Let's just go on. But hurting people hurt people. And hurting people are easily hurt by other people. Point five this morning. Now we're going to get to the solution, and we're going to get to the Word of God. Deep, lasting healing is only found in Jesus. Deep, lasting healing is only found in Jesus. Other systems and processes are effective, but only to a point. Time itself will not heal. Stuffing and managing your hurt and pain will not heal. I tried that. I stuffed and managed my pain as best I could, and I was not fully effective. And I'll tell you what, it takes a ton of energy to do that. There are some people that are exhausted mentally and physically, because they are trying to manage that deep-seated pain. And if they would begin to open that to the healing of Jesus, it's amazing what God will do. Again, speaking from experience. Deep, lasting healing is only found in Jesus. Unprocessed pain has to be dealt with. You say, well, that happened so long ago, I don't even want to go back there. Unprocessed pain has to be dealt with because it's still impacting your life. Now, let's look at the Word of God coming up on the screen. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. This is a prophecy about coming Messiah. Isaiah spoke this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he declared what Messiah was going to be like. Now, when Jesus began his ministry, he actually read this prophecy, and when he had finished reading this prophecy, and you'll find this in Luke's gospel, when he finished reading this prophecy, he proclaimed that the prophecy was fulfilled in him. Our Savior, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is what's on the screen. Not only is he this, he wants to be this for you. So, let me just read and comment a little bit. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me. This is one of Jesus' ministries. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. A brokenhearted individual needs to be bound up. It's a picture of like binding a bone or something to reset it. A brokenhearted person needs to have mending. It needs to be bound, but the binding up needs to come from the Messiah, from Jesus himself, from God going into our hearts. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives. There are some people who are captive to their shame, they are captive to their pain, they are captive to their depression, they are captive to their fears, they are captive to their insecurities. This isn't just a physical captivity. Our minds are held captive. The enemy has fed us enough lies, then we feed them to ourselves as if they are truth. I fed myself the lie that I would not amount to anything, and it got to the point I didn't try. Until the Lord Jesus Christ came into my life, and I learned about his ability to be someone who sets the captive free. I needed to be set free from my thoughts of insecurity. I need to be set free from my anger thoughts to those who had wounded me. I needed to be set free from the captivity of perfectionism. That one I'm still working on, but I'm better. I needed to be set free from inferiority and insecurity. And Jesus is here to release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim freedom for the captives and the release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Let me speak over you this morning. God likes you. This is the year of his favor for you. He is not wanting to beat you down. He is not wanting to crush you. He loves you. He likes you. His favor is for you. We sing the song, The Blessing, and it talks about, as we repeat the words, about his favor being upon us through 1,000 generations to our children and their children and their children. God is a God whose favor is upon you. He's smiling on you. It's hard for some of us to realize that. It's hard for us to imagine that because we have a hard time smiling on ourselves. And we think God feels about us the way we feel about ourselves. Proclaim freedom for the captives. As Pastor Evan shared, those captive and addictive behaviors, whether it's drugs or alcohol or sex or shopping or whatever the addictive behaviors, you know, there's some addictive behaviors that are mental addiction. Feeling sorry for yourself all the time can almost become an addiction. Wanting to get everybody's attention, oh me, oh poor me, can almost become an addiction. And he is to proclaim, he's proclaiming freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. Excuse me. Now listen to these next words. To comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion. Sometimes the hurt is a hurt that you're still grieving, that you're still mourning. I talked my throat dry. To comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion. Now listen, grief and mourning at great loss, the loss of a life through death, the loss of a marriage, the loss of a child who's become a prodigal, all of those things need to be grieved. But sometimes we get locked in grief. We go back and we grieve that. Maybe you grieve the loss of your innocence. Maybe someone stole something from you sexually when you were young and you're still grieving that loss. God is here to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion. Zion is Israel, it's Jerusalem, it's where God, it's talking about God's people. When God's people grieve and mourn. And then he wants to do this. He wants to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. The oil of joy instead of mourning. and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. God has gifts for you out of his favor. The oil of joy for mourning. A garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. If you're walking through depression, if you've been walking through depression for a long period of time, if you cycle through depression, there's a garment of praise for a spirit of despair, or as the way I memorize it, a spirit of heaviness. And what's going to happen ultimately in our lives? We'll be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. See, when you allow the Spirit of God to come in and begin to heal where you are broken. And much of the breaking takes place in our elementary school years, our high school years. There's a lot that takes place within family structures. But it doesn't matter how old you are, God can heal and deliver and set free. But I'm going to say this, if you are young today, the younger you start, the sooner you can become one of these trees of righteousness. You will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, and you will, by your transformed, healed life, display his splendor. Remember the boy, me, who got slapped. Remember the boy who said he was never going to amount to anything. Now, I'm not saying this about myself. I'm saying this about our God. He's standing in front of you preaching. He's standing in front of you healed. He's standing in front of you with a wife and a family and grandchildren. He's standing in front of you having a life that has made a difference and will continue to make a difference because of our God and what our God can do. You are looking at an oak of righteousness, a planting of the Lord in front of you this morning or through the lens of your television set. God is a God of healing. This is our Jesus. This is the Jesus who is here for you today. Number six. Deep lasting healing requires time and effort on our part. Deep lasting healing requires time and effort on our part. There are those rare, miraculous cases. There's a difference between a miracle and the type of healing that God oftentimes does in people's lives and hearts. A miracle would mean you come up here, I lay hands on you, and it's gone. For most of us, the healing is going to be a progressive thing requiring time and effort on our part. Requiring us to come to the Messiah, to Jesus, and to ask him to begin to heal. To accept the fact that we hurt. To accept the fact that our hurts are not healed. To accept the fact that out of our hurt, we are people we don't want to be, and we want to be different. And then you come to Jesus, and you say, Jesus, whatever it's going to take, I have two purposes this morning. One, awareness. That you're aware of the impact of hurt on you because hurting people hurt people. And hurting people are easily hurt by other people. The impact of hurt upon you and to give you hope. Hope that with Jesus' help and with time and effort working with him through prayer, maybe talking to some people, having other people pray with you, you also can be healed. Jesus touched me deeply, helped me to rise above, and now to lead a life that is full and wonderful. And he's touched many others, men and women alike. He's brought us freedom from our past wounds and hurts, and he has lifted us out of our pits and given us a life of purpose and wholeness. And yes, there'll still be scars. And sometimes I still have to seek him for additional healing, especially when perfectionism wants to rise up. But to be honest, I'm not certain what kind of life I would have had if I did not allow Jesus to heal me and partner with me in this process. I don't know what my life would be like. But I can pretty much guarantee that I wouldn't be married to a fabulous wife like Sherry. I'd probably be divorced once or twice over. Probably be estranged from any children that I had, maybe grandchildren. But Jesus came into my heart, baptized me with the Holy Spirit, and I thank him that I was attending a church that understood some of this and began to teach on it, and then I took it and applied it to my life, and Jesus did the work. There were others in that church. They heard the same thing I heard, and they went on their life still locked into, still bound by their hurts, and did not receive the healing. That's why that last point was, could you bring point six back up again, please? That last point is deep, lasting healing requires time and effort on our part, partnering with Jesus Christ. Would you stand? I'm going to speak a blessing over you. The team's going to come back to the platform, and they're going to lead us in a song of response, and then we're going to open for a time of prayer. I'm speaking Paul's words from Romans chapter 15, verse 13, where it says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." May the God of hope fill each person listening to my voice. Fill them with all joy and peace in believing. Not just believing in Jesus, believing that Jesus is the healer. Believing that Jesus is the one who will set the captive free, who will comfort the mourning, who will give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Now, power of the Holy Spirit, come, that each one of us may not just have hope, but abound in hope. May hope so come into our lives and hearts that we're going to believe for you to do things, but also that we will abound with so much hope that it will spill out on others and they will begin to have hope about what Jesus can do. May 2022 be a year where hope rises in the life of each and every man, woman and teenager who is here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for this message from Columbus First Assembly. If this message has blessed you in any way, would you share it on your social media feeds so that others can be blessed also? If you would like to join us for an in-person service and you're close to us, we are in Columbus, Indiana, then our services start at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings, and our church is located on the corner of 10th and Iowa. Once again, thanks for joining us. Look forward to having you join us again soon.